The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here for the final hour of the Tuesday show. It's the first show of the week for us because we were off Memorial Day yesterday. You can listen to the 6 o'clock hour to get the deets on that. But we're back with you the rest of the week. We're running out of time in May. I want to thank Rebecca for coming into the studio here at all, let alone for 2 hours to answer my questions and yours. I just thought it was a very fascinating, candid conversation with a trans woman. Now, of course, she doesn't go out and identify as a trans woman. She just goes out and identifies as a woman, but for purposes of our conversation. And I thought it was just very interesting. Now, obviously, Rebecca is a conservative, so probably doesn't speak for the bulk of the politicized portion of the LGBTQ. And she even said like the LGBTQ alphabet mafia or whatever it was, doesn't speak for them. But I do think that she probably speaks for more than just herself. There's probably a bunch out there. We even had the call from Kathleen on the phone here who feel that way. They just don't come out and be all super politically active and stuff like that. There were some things that she said that I just thought were very insightful, including the idea that other than those who want to jam it down your throat, like most of these folks, I imagine, just want to do what they want to do and be left alone and leave it at that. And if that were the case, I think if you're a conservative, you would say, great. Do whatever the hell you want. I mean, that's conservative principles. You don't want government getting in your business, telling you how to live your life and do whatever within certain limitations. But it's become so politicized by the left that the natural reaction to it is to push back and be like, no, I don't like anything like that. They're jamming it down my throat. And I didn't get a chance to ask Rebecca this, and I wish I had. But, you know, we went from a period of time in my lifetime where it was tolerance. And then tolerance kind of morphed into something a little more proactive, which was acceptance. And then we went from acceptance to celebration. And then we went from celebration to just jamming it down your throat and telling you, you must do this, you must do that. And, you know, if kids are feeling this way, you've got to get them this treatment and that treatment. And I may not agree with everything Rebecca said about the hormone blockers and all that other stuff. But what I appreciate is her candor in saying that she thinks that, look, that trans women should not be competing in women's sports. You stick to the dude sports, right? Like, you've got all the equipment, you've had all the benefit, you should stick to the dude sports, or maybe even your own league or something like that. She thought that that shouldn't happen. I thought that was pretty telling. The bathroom thing was an interesting conversation. There's just so many more things we could talk about, largely because this stuff is in the news. I'm going to take a moment just to read one text, Billy. And this is really more for Mark and Kelly and the people that pay our bills than anything else. But it says, I miss the hats, hoodies, and tees. There it is from somebody right there. That's our one text. In fact, Chelsea saw me from sales, saw me in my collared button-up shirt here so I can look a little more professional and my shorts. And she was like, my God, you look like my dad when he's out and about at a picnic or something. And I'm like, damn it, I don't want to be your dad. I mean, your dad's a great dude, but I don't want to be that guy. I want to, you know. Anyway, I want to change topics a little bit here. I'm happy to take any reaction you have, by the way. Lots of positive texts and stuff from about Rebecca. Here's another one. Rebecca was a great guest. I hope she comes back. A lot of texts saying, hey, here's one. Rebecca's more interesting than your other topics. Thank you, listener. Please ask Rebecca to describe her relationship with her parents. We sort of covered that a little bit. I felt like that was probably a little more of a sensitive topic to get into the weeds about. And then there's some other stuff here. Here's what I wanted to talk about. Do you remember when they had those five good employees, some of them long-term, like 31-year employees of King Soopers, who were fired for daring to intervene to stop a brazen shoplifter? And we talked about that. And those folks are still waiting to try to get their jobs back or get some settlement. But King Soopers has clung to the idea that theft is such a horrible thing, we won't do anything to stop it, and we'll punish those who do. Obviously, a message you want your kids to learn as they're shopping through King Soopers, like, you better pay for that, because if you don't, nothing happens to you. We're just going to apparently rely on faith and morality to prevent theft and nothing else. But this thing has taken on another angle here, because if you didn't hear about this, there is a store out there called Lululemon, L-U-L-U Lemon, all one word. It's kind of a big deal, especially with women, but they do have men's products there too. I know, because I've been in the Lululemon store, and they have some pretty slick looking pants for a thinner George, probably would fit better. They seem like they would be nice if I were 20 pounds lighter, not as nice right now. But they have a lot of stuff like those stretchy leggings and all those other cool things that women like. And so there's one at a place called Peachtree Corners in Atlanta. If you haven't been to Atlanta, every single street has the word peach in it somewhere, or every property has the word peach in it. So Peachtree Corners in Atlanta. And if it's got a Lululemon store, you know it's a little more upscale. Lululemon is not going to be next to the dollar store. It's not going to be next to Goodwill. It's not going to be next to JCPenney's. It'll be in the same mall, but it'll be in a different place. That's because they're trying to appeal to a wealthier clientele. So still great stuff, though. And on this particular day, some dudes came in. I think it was four or five of them. Just walked right in. They were wearing masks because, you know, COVID and criminals, probably the criminals. One dude held the door open and another guy ran forward and grabbed up a whole bunch of leggings, thousands of dollars worth of clothing, and just headed out. And when the women, there was two women employees, when they tried to confront them, these burglars, and people have called it robbery. Let's just be real precise here about the way the terms are used. Robbery, at least for Colorado, is theft from a person, right? And it's usually involving some type of force. Strong arm robbery could be a purse snatcher. Armed robbery would be threatening you with a gun or a knife or a bat or something and getting you to give up something of value. That's robbery. Burglary is when you take something from a building, whether it's a residential burglary, your house, or a business burglary. This feels to me more like burglary. But in Georgia, maybe because it took place in front of some people, maybe they call it robbery. I don't know. Nonetheless, the two women, the two employees are like, hey, what are you doing? And they yell out, chill. B word, shut your A word up, one of them says, who then followed and filmed the group. This is while this person is filming them getting in their getaway car and driving away. Now, they got apprehended. They got caught, despite the fact that they changed their license plate and all that other stuff. I mean, these were dedicated thug criminals who were trying to get away with stuff that they didn't pay for because they're, of course, thug thieves. So these two women then have the audacity to wait for it. They didn't try to intervene. They didn't jump them. They didn't threaten them. They didn't do anything. They picked up the phone and called the police. And the police showed up, the Gwinnett Police Department, G-W-I-N-N-E-T-T, Gwinnett Police Department. And they said, hey, we've had this happen before and all this. The police roll up and they're like, one, thank you for calling us. We're going to try to catch these guys. And they do. But the other thing they said is, what do you mean this theft has been going on here and this is happening more than we don't know any about this. Nobody's telling us this. These two women are then fired by Lululemon because Lululemon has a zero tolerance policy for things like apparently notifying police. Now, in their handbook, in their employee handbook, it says you should call 911 after the burglars leave. Like if someone comes in to steal, it basically tells them roll out the red carpet, let these guys steal whatever they want, and then call 911 to get it taken care of. However, separate and distinct from that manual are the instructions that these women were given, and they have given interviews to news outlets. I've looked them up. And they say things like, we don't want to tell the police. We don't want to draw attention to the store for potential customers by having the police there. We don't want, even if there are other customers in the store, we don't want to draw any negative attention to the shopping experience by making it look like we're being the victims of crime. Now, one, that's garbage, right? I get why they're making that decision. That's a pure business decision for them because they don't like the look. If cops are sitting out in front of a store, you may not want to go shopping in that store. I get it. If you don't want to be associated with being shoplifted, I presume this is very similar to what's going on with King Soopers and some of these other stores who roll over and play dead when someone comes in and steals from them because they just pass the cost on to you, the law-abiding customer. So there's a spokesperson for Lululemon who confirmed for the New York Post, that's where one of these articles came from, that Lululemon does in fact have a zero tolerance policy concerning chasing or physically deterring thieves. Now, physically deterring could mean standing in front of them in the door. And that would be a zero tolerance policy. Now, Lululemon denies that they fired these women for calling the police. They say they were fired for confronting the thieves. Think about that. They didn't use any physical exertion. They didn't actually stand between them and the door. They just simply yelled at them to not do what they were doing, because that's the gut reaction of any normal, moral human being when you see somebody stealing. They were fired for that because it was confronting the thieves. And here's their quote. The two employees at our Peachtree Corners location in Georgia were not terminated for calling the police. They were terminated for knowingly violating our zero tolerance policy related to physically engaging with the perpetrators, which put their lives and the safety of our guests and other employees at risk. What a bunch of bunk. But my guess is so much more retail theft goes unreported because of these clown-like policies that prioritize the bottom line, and that is dollars. This is all about dollars. If you're worried about the perception amongst customers and the public, it's about dollars. Prioritizing dollars over additional theft or public safety. Because when you allow criminals to come into your store and steal and leave with impunity, you have created an environment where they are more likely to steal again. And maybe it won't be Lululemon. Maybe it'll be some other thing. Maybe it'll be some other place. And unless our societal reaction to this is all going to be the same crappy Lululemon Kroger policy of just let them do whatever they want because we simply don't care anymore, we'll pass the cost on to the customer. We got to do something about this. And I know we're boycotting Bud Light, and I know people are boycotting Target, and I know they're going to boycott Kohl's for whatever they're doing with the LGBTQ stuff. What about boycotting stores that engage in this garbage behavior right here? What about saying, I'm not going to shop at Lululemon until you rehire these two and you change your policy to something else? How about Kroger? And I say that as a guy, by the way, who just shopped at Kroger this weekend. I had to pick up something. It just happened to be King Soopers happened to be closest to the house. But I'm going to rethink that because I don't want to go out there and pay money for goods that I know some of it is to cover the cost of their lax don't give a damn policy about shoplifting and theft. And I feel the same way about Lululemon, although candidly, I'm not a regular shopper of Lululemon. It's got to be a special occasion. But I would consider boycotting stores based on their crappy policies. In Colorado, and I'd written a column, it posted last week, last Thursday, I think, about how theft is okay in Colorado, based on not just the legislature struggling to do anything to increase penalties for people who are thieves, even chronic thieves, but for these companies like Kroger and like Lululemon, who are simply abandoning the idea that there's a right and wrong to theft. They just don't care. They just have stopped caring. They just prefer the image that they have a nice, clean store that only law-abiding people go to, and it's super safe, and we don't have to worry about anything like an employee lawsuit because a bad guy hurt them. Well, in Colorado, as it turns out, there's a statute that exists. And by the way, these guys don't report to police. My guess is they don't report half of it to police. 18-8-115, duty to report a crime. Duty to report a crime. Listen to this statute on the books right this second. It is the duty of every corporation or person who has reasonable grounds to believe that a crime has been committed to report promptly the suspected crime to law enforcement authorities. Notwithstanding any other provision of the law to the contrary, a corporation or person may disclose information concerning a suspected crime to other persons or corporations for the purpose of giving notice of the possibility that other such criminal conduct may be attempted, which may affect the persons or corporations notified. And then it says basically when acting in good faith, they'll be immune from any civil liability for the reporting and all this other stuff. And it's in the criminal code. Title 18 is the adult criminal code for the state of Colorado. And they break it down by, there's three numbers, title, article, section, title 18, article 8. Article 8 are operations of government. That's in essence what it is. And so, and I think article 9 is something to do with something else related to government, but it's different. This right here is on the books, and yet my guess is nobody follows this. And if they do, it's not because it's the law. It's because they're just calling the police because that's your knee-jerk reaction. The problem with this statute is there is no penalty provision in it. Now, I know that there's a provision of the law that says if a crime is on the books and it does not possess a specific penalty, then it's considered an unclassified misdemeanor. But I also don't know if that applies here, because there's another provision of the law that says that every statute to be enforced has to have a penalty provision to it. So this is either an unenforceable statute or it's an unclassified misdemeanor. Either way, we've got to take action on this. It is my thought, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. And here's someone that's texted in already. Small business typically doesn't have ridiculous policies like these. I think small business, right? These big corporations do. That we need to start cracking down on this, and we need to create an environment where whistleblowers feel free to come forward to law enforcement and say, "Hi, I saw somebody shoplifting from Home Depot, but I couldn't report it because Home Depot policy is to not call the man, to not call the popo." We need to this is my opinion, and you tell me if this comports with your sense of what we ought to do. Because I can't say that I am a big fan of government intervening and telling people how to live their lives. But when it comes to theft from business, it seems to me that this isn't an isolated incident where you can say, well, the victim can decide whether or not to prosecute. We don't do that anywhere else, right? Like in domestic violence, if the police get called and they come out and there's probable cause to arrest somebody, usually the dude, for domestic violence, they get hooked up and they go to jail. And many times a victim, for a lot of legitimate reasons, says, I don't want to prosecute anymore, or I want the charges dismissed, or whatever it is. We don't do that. And we don't do that because we know that the domestic violence offender needs to be held accountable, one, but two, is more than likely to engage in that behavior again. How is this remarkably different? You've got these thieves that are stealing from Home Depot. Do you think they just steal from Home Depot, or they just steal from Lululemon or Kroger? These are people who are gutless thieves who steal probably in almost every other aspect of their lives. And so the issue here is, as a matter of public safety, shouldn't we have teeth in a statute that already exists, a duty to report a crime such that, and whistleblower protection, such that if you're Lululemon and somebody steals something, you have a zero tolerance policy for your employees not immediately notifying police, even while they're in the store, or something, or Kroger having to immediately notify the police and cooperate in the prosecution immediately. And if any store doesn't do that, and an employee, and this is where you got to keep your employees loved, right? You got to show them the love, because it's the disgruntled employee that always comes up with all the bad things the employer was doing in the rearview mirror. And you got to get them whistleblower protection, and we create an environment where a crime occurs at a retail establishment. That retail establishment must promptly, as the statute says, report that crime, or somebody going to be prosecuted. And yes, we can prosecute businesses here in the state of Colorado, but more than likely, we would probably prosecute that person in the chain of command who said, no, don't call them. I don't know if they'd go to jail. I don't. That's not a big concern for me. The big concern is I want to drag them into court and make them answer. And my guess is before that ever happened, these department stores, these retail establishments would change their policies and say, well, we don't want our employees going to jail, or the employees will ignore the policies. And then if they're fired, they're going to say, I complied with the law. You can't fire me for complying with the law. That's true. You cannot be terminated for complying with the law. Here's one, another text. Walmart hasn't done anything about shoplifting in over 20 years. They don't pursue it. They don't even detain them. They take it out of employee profit sharing. Oh, that's disgusting. I think this would be a law that employees would love. And I know I would love as a customer. Do you want this? Do you want teeth in this? Do you want to see store managers or some of the other big muckety mucks in the administration who adopt these policies drug into court to answer why they didn't comply with Colorado's already existing law? 303-696-1971 is the number. 303-696-1971. There's an aspect, by the way, of sales where you don't have to worry as much about theft, and that is selling homes, because nobody can just walk off with your house. Yes, there could be people who just crash the house and stay there and squat, but That's not what we're talking about here. When you're talking about buying or selling a home, you're talking about Gay Ribble. She is a wizard, and she has a team of Harry Potter-like wizards in the real estate market called Keller Williams, Empower Home Team Keller Williams. They do the great things for you on behalf of you and your family to put you in the best, happiest situation you can get in. So if you're looking to sell your house out of discretion or need, doesn't matter, you call Gay Ribble. If you're looking to get into a new home, your family's expanding, maybe the kids are moving back and something like, and you want to get them a house close to grandpa and grandma, whatever it is, Gay Ribble and the Empower Home Team are the folks to go see. Now, you can check them out at gayhasthebuyers.com, G-A-Y-E, gayhasthebuyers.com, because those folks are the ones that see your listing and gobble it up quickly and drive the price up. That's why Gay sells for more on average than other realtors. That's why Gay sells faster on average than other realtors. You can check out the Empower Home Free Workshops at, ironically, EmpowerHomeFreeWorkshops.com, probably more coincidental than irony. EmpowerHomeFreeWorkshops.com, or you can check her out at GayHasTheBuyers.com. I recommend giving them a call and talking to the nice people at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. We're going to cut away from a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get Sarah and other folks at 303-696-1971. It's George Brocklin on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brocker back with you here, 710 KNUS, little Foo Fighters to get us to the next segment right here. I don't know if you experience any pains in your joints, knees, elbows, shoulders, hips, whatever it is. I have some, but not the kind of pain that QC Kinetics is really trying to tackle here, and they do a wonderful job with it. The warranty has not yet run out on my parts, but if it has for you and you're dealing with some sort of a chronic pain in one of those joints, your options are kind of limited these days, right? Live with it or go see a doctor that's likely going to recommend a whole bunch of drugs and or someone to cut into you. But your options just expanded by one, and it's a pretty cool one. It's QC Kinetics. Q is a letter. C is a letter. Kinetics begins with a K and ends with an X. QCKinetics.com. These are the folks that have figured out a way through regenerative medicine to use you to fix you. And that means it's a needle. And then you go home. Like, there's no downtime. The rehabilitation is virtually non-existent because you're in and you're out and your body starts working on healing itself through this regenerative process. That's the kind of healthcare I think I want to have for the future when I need it. I want it for my dad, too. Unfortunately, it won't fix that exploded Achilles heel. But the other stuff I've talked to him about, too. Be part of this conversation and then have another option for you. The option that has made so many people across the country get up out of bed, no pain, tackle the day, no pain. And my God, you're at summer right now, the most active season of the year. Why not do it pain free? And that starts with a phone call to 303-900-8986, 303-900-8986. Our friends at QC Kinetics, that's QCKinetics.com, 303-900-8986. We're going to get
George,
yes?
You were talking a second there about the bumper music, Foo Fighters coming back. Foo Fighters have a new album, but
they
here we are dropping June 7th. Very interesting. It's all white and has a dedication to Dave's mom and Taylor Hawkins in the back.
Is it called the White Album?
No, it's called But Here We Are. Yeah, But Here We Are is what it's called. But they just dropped a new single from the album.
Oh.
And it's a song that everyone should check out. It's called Show Me How. Not necessarily rocker. Much softer, a little more ethereal. The standout is Dave is doing vocals with his daughter Violet. His daughter Violet is doing backing vocals, and they harmonize. And it's really cool. It's a really neat song. Also, at a recent concert in the last 4 or 5 days, the Foos brought Taylor Hawkins' son Shane up on stage with them to play drums during, I believe it was All My Life. I think it was a song that I saw. But I think that's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
It's the idea. And they talked about how everybody's family is touring with them on this tour.
There isn't a single family
member staying home. So I just wanted to share that because the Foos are doing something really special.
And I love
right
the Foos.
Right.
I love the Foos.
Back to you.
Let's get back to the phone line. Sarah, you're on 710 KNUS. Sarah, what do you think?
Back to what you were talking about. So, I am just curious. Our law enforcement is understaffed. Our courts are already backed up. Why do you think it's so vital for us to go after people who are stealing from major retail stores?
Yeah, I would say because I think the lawlessness aspect of it, especially on something that is such a fundamental basic thing as property rights, is destructive, not just of that moment in time and that item that is stolen, but of the broader community. Because someone who's willing to walk into a Lululemon in a coordinated effort and just rip off thousands of dollars worth of clothes, that's not the only victim. They're not just going to go back home and either sell, eBay, or wear these clothes. They're going to hit another store and then another store. And they've lived that life of lawlessness. That is only going to make us less safe because they're going to come to a store where someone is going to try to intervene. And then there is going to be a problem. I think what we need to do is to vigorously enforce these lower level...
Sorry, wait. Can I stop you? What's the problem going to be when someone finally tries to intervene? Isn't that what you're suggesting we do all the time?
Well, I want to see the police intervene early so that we never get to the point where we have to have this sort of physical confrontation that I think is coming. I mean, I guess my question to you, Sarah, is do property...
So it's all just kind of your perspective on what you think would happen.
Well, it's not my perspective. It is the reality. Take a look at San Francisco. Take a look at Portland. Take a look at Seattle. States that have de-emphasized through their criminal code low-level property crimes. And what have you seen there? An explosion in shoplifting, an explosion in broader property crimes, and now businesses starting to shuttering and flee those areas. The same thing is going to take place in Denver. Sarah, what's your answer? What do we do with that? We just let people steal stuff? And if so, why pay for anything ever? Why couldn't I just walk into a store and take whatever I want and leave?
I mean, you do run the risk of being arrested or facing consequences.
Not a very big one, apparently.
I would say that people who steal from major retail stores aren't necessarily these devilish, evil people that you're making them out to be.
Hold on.
That should be going to court. They're, a lot of times...
Hold on. Why do you think they're stealing?
I think it's because they don't have the resources themselves.
Unbelievably, provably false.
A lot of people are taking... Okay.
I'm just telling you, the major retail outlets are not suffering theft of diapers or baby formula.
Well, are the retail outlets suffering? I guess is my main question. So if they're not suffering, I don't see Lululemon suffering. They're not.
So it's okay to steal if you perceive them as making a profit.
People are stealing from stores like Lululemon because they have overpriced clothing that they know that they can take.
But then it's okay to steal?
I'm not saying these people are good people, but I'm saying I don't think that these same people are going to go into a mom and pop shop and steal from someone who really needs the income.
Theft is okay if it's who you steal from.
Can I finish my thought?
As long as you answer my question.
I think they're almost stealing from these major stores in like a Robin Hood type of way, which yes, is not very ethical. But I think what you're asking for is more of a Big Brother type of fix to all of this, which seems a bit overbearing to have people like citizen arrest trying to get people.
I want them to call the police.
I think what we're doing is barking up the wrong tree when, like I said, we don't have major law enforcement resources right now. We're lacking. All of our law enforcement is short-staffed. They've said that multiple times on the news. And then also, our courts are still backed up from COVID. So to ask these people who are shoplifting from Walmart to come into court is a...
Ask them?
Misuse of all the resources, in my opinion.
Let's be clear. The people that steal, whether it's from Lululemon, Walmart, or a mom and pop shop, are wrong. They're bad people. They've made decisions to prioritize their own interests and desires over everybody else's rights. They don't care about the law, and they should be jailed. I mean, I want to be unequivocally clear about that. Nobody's stealing a loaf of bread to feed their family. I've only been doing this 28 years. I've never once seen anything approaching that. And the idea, Sarah, that who you steal from matters as to whether or not it should be enforced or whether it should be a crime, doesn't that just degrade the entire aspect of property rights and crimes in general? It's like, well, you can steal from a major retailer because they can absorb the loss. But don't steal from a mom and pop shop because they can't.
What we should do, like ethically, and what we can do as an economy and as a society. We don't have the resources to go after every single person who's shoplifting. So in that case, that's why we prioritize mom and pops and people who need the money, and people are shoplifting from those people. Yeah, you see that way less often, let's be honest.
So hold on.
You only really see
people. We shouldn't treat theft from Walmart the way we treat theft from a mom and pop shop.
What was that?
We shouldn't treat theft from Walmart the way we treat theft from a mom and pop shop.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
So if somebody steals a rich person's car, we should let that go too.
People who are stealing from Walmart who already factor into their prices. Now, I think it's I don't know if misleading is the word. I think it's not necessarily correct to say that because the employees are taking the L because people are stealing. Like you said, that it would be better for the employees because it's like coming out of their paycheck, but it's not. I mean, Walmart and these big retail stores are factoring in theft into their prices.
Somebody just said Walmart does this employee profit sharing thing. And that's where the losses come out of, is the employee profit sharing thing. But even if they don't lose a penny, you and I do, because don't fancy yourself for a moment as someone who can escape the consequences of theft by suggesting that Walmart is just simply going to say, well, I guess we'll have to dip into our profits to cover those losses. They're not going to dip into their profits.
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't do that.
They pass the cost to you and me, Sarah. They pass the cost to you and me. Is that fair?
Yeah, but do you really think that if theft goes down, they're not going to keep upping their prices? I think that's bullshit.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, thanks for the offer of the profanity. But, Sarah, the bigger point is this. I want to see every thief jailed every time they're caught. And if that happens, I truly believe the incidence of theft will decrease. It's because we treat it the way you've suggested, which is sort of it's kind of a moral gray area because we don't have enough funds. We're just going to let people steal and focus on the bigger crimes. Well, you don't get to just focus on the bigger crimes, because that lower level crime, that person doesn't just stop at property theft. That kind of crime begets more crime. It decreases property values. It drives businesses out of business. I mean, some of those big stores you're talking about, Sarah, have left San Francisco because of retail theft. So is that better for the community?
So what we're saying is we should go after every single person, and then it wouldn't happen anymore. But how do we do
that? No, I didn't say it wouldn't happen anymore. I'd say it happened less.
And have someone looking at every single camera. Like, how do we make sure that no one steals a single thing?
No, it's not a question. It's not an option between no one steals a single thing or it's Katie bar the door if you're a large retailer. The issue is we have a law on the books that has gone unenforced right now, that is already on the books, that mandates that retail corporations, all these things, notify law enforcement. And frankly, people that get embezzled, they're required to notify law enforcement too, because we're in the business of stopping criminal conduct and holding those people accountable. Sarah, it's shocking to me to hear someone call up and go, not that big a deal.
I guess it runs the line of like, let's make all guns illegal and then people won't get guns and then people, you know, won't shoot people, you know, like it just seems like, well,
I don't
that's
think that's
really
true at all
to like make guns all
should we legalize
away.
Theft
like,
well Sarah should
there,
we just legalize theft then and just say we're just not in a place to enforce property crimes, we're just going to legalize burglary, theft, car trespass, we're just going to legalize it, we just
no,
don't
I
have the ability
a
to
lot
enforce
of things it. A lot of things have a gray area, like I don't think there is a
what is gray about
a
theft
way that we're going to fix
what's
that.
Gray about theft, is it wrong?
No, I just mean, like, when it comes to, like, the amount of resources we have, like, yeah, we could stop theft if we were able to keep every single person from stealing or the majority of people from stealing to deter other people from stealing. But we don't have the resources to do that. So we have to use our resources in the best way possible. So that's what we're doing.
And that is to abandon the theft. And by the way, you and I aren't making that decision. That's the retailers making that decision for us by creating policies that prevent.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Well, if the retailer doesn't care, then why are we going to use
but
our tax?
But here's the problem, Sarah. Their apathy for their loss impacts us not only as a consumer, but it creates another victim. Because those people, it's not a one and done. I run in and grab me some stretchy pants from Lululemon and I'm all done for my life. Those people are going to go steal from others and they're going to get more brazen at it. So in not holding them accountable.
Well, I don't know about that. That's where I think we
So you think
diverge.
That these guys
because
that dumped into this one Lululemon just
all
hit this one?
Are going and just stealing from everyone. It's not like they're like addicted to stealing. I have the buck now.
It's not a question of an addiction. It is. I don't want to say addiction because that takes away their personal responsibility for this horrific conduct. It is a conscious and planned decision to steal from others because they simply don't care. Your property rights mean nothing to them. And it's a store today. It's your garage tomorrow. And maybe it's your house when you're on vacation next month.
I don't think that the same people that are stealing a loaf of bread from King Super.
Nobody's stealing a loaf of bread from King Super, Sarah.
Out of your garage.
Nobody is stealing a loaf of bread from King Super's. That doesn't happen.
I thought you said they were.
No, I said
they,
I don't.
They weren't doing it to feed their family, but
no, they're not stealing loaves of bread. They're stealing a whole bunch of other stuff that's super expensive to get away with not paying for it. Same thing with Lululemon. Same thing with any of these stores that just turn a blind eye to it. They're not doing it because they don't think it causes harm. They're doing it because they think the greater harm is to the optics of their store and whether or not customers would want to shop at a place that I would. In fact, I'd love to see thieves that are convicted have to wear a big old sandwich board in front of the store that says, this is what happens when you steal, and have to stand there for the whole weekend. I'd love it.
Okay, fair.
What's your answer to theft?
I think that we should use our resources in a way that is reasonable. So, you know, if someone steals from someone, and like I said, it's a small business where that small business, you know, they need that money to function and they need that money to pay their.
What about from you, sir? I don't know what your business is. I don't know what your.
That's important. And I think that small business is going to press charges.
Is there another crime, Sarah?
Charges, I don't see a reason to go after it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should do that with domestic violence. If domestic violence victims come forward and say, I don't think
there's a difference there.
Why?
Because a domestic violence victim normally lives with their aggressor. And so in that way, when the police come, the aggressor can be like, hey, you know, I'm going to beat you later if you press charges or whatever. Like, I'm going to find you. The police aren't going to be able to keep you safe. So that in that way, the victim's like, oh, no, I don't want to press charges. You can't really believe a victim in that situation because they could be... the aggressor could be the one behind them saying that.
What if the victim's like, hey, what if the victim's like, listen, I'm leaving the state.
No.
I'm saying, no, that's not it though. What if the victim of domestic violence just says, I'm done with this guy. I'm never going back. But man, I don't want the hassle in my life. I just don't want to have to show up to court. I don't want to deal with it. Do we let that abuser go? Do we say, well, she doesn't want to prosecute. I guess you can just feel free to get into another relationship with another woman and abuse them.
We're talking about physical harm.
It doesn't matter. It's the criminal conduct part. It's the criminal conduct part. How about this? Somebody breaks into a house in your neighborhood, steals a bunch of stuff. They're caught, and the homeowner says, not a big deal. Insurance will cover it.
But I don't think that's going to happen. If that does happen, then whatever.
Really? Really? So we should only enforce the laws a victim says they want enforced. Don't you think that creates more victims, Sarah?
As long as we can believe that victim and we know that they're not being held against their own will.
What deters the guy then from committing another burglary or act of domestic violence? What deters them? They've already done it once and they've been let go.
You have to think that, especially in like a homeowner situation, that's not going to happen very often.
No, but under your theory, it could. And if it does, we let it go. We just go, well, what does the victim think? And if the victim thinks, don't prosecute. What if you have a case where a victim's involved and you decide you want to give a certain plea bargain because you think this person's deserving of it, but the victim says, no, I want them to go to jail for what they did to me. Do we just do what the victim says? Or do we do what we think is right as a prosecutor?
Well, I think if we're already at the point where we're at court, like if the plea bargain is an option, then we're already in court. So I think like we're already at that point where both parties have agreed, we're at court. So the victim is at court.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the distinction on the issue here. But Sarah, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for calling and sharing that. I also think that theory is bonkers and provably leads to more crime in the community. The idea that we're so resource strapped, we should just let people steal from retailers, unless it's this mom and pop shop. Mom and pop shops, because they're in a different position, that kind of theft we might prosecute. But if you're stealing from a big store with a lot of money where they can spread the losses around in the form of increased prices, well then, suck it. I guess that's just where we're at. 303-696-1971. Before I cut you loose here for this last quick break, I need to tell you about Dan Kaplis. This is a guy that upholds the law, and he fights for victims. If you have been victimized by someone through their negligence, recklessness, intentional conduct, doesn't matter, give Dan a call. He and Bobber will go to bat for you, and not in the Colorado Rockies way, like in a big-time winner way. Like, these guys hit home runs all the time, and they don't just do it by luck. They don't just swing at every old pitch. These are the guys through preparation, through training, through experience. These are the guys that tee you up for success every single time. Now, can they get the top result that they get in like back to back to back to back to back to back? I think that's 5 multi-million dollar verdicts in every case. No, But you can bet your best chance at getting justice through the civil justice system is with Dan and Bobber by your side. Give Dan a call at 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551, or check him out at dankaplislaw.com. Kaplis has a C, dankaplislaw.com. When we come back, we'll have minutes left. I'll try to get whoever I can on the phones on here. George Brock with George Show, 710 KNUS. Hey, folks, George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. I only have 2 minutes left. I can't get all the callers on. I should have started this topic a little bit earlier, but we'll start with Terry from Littleton. You're on 710. Terry, what do you think?
Good morning, George. Just wanted to address two issues. Number one and foremost, if they're not going to press charges against people that are going and stealing that have no investment in the store, what happens to the employees if they're caught stealing at Walmart or Lululemon?
Well, listen, it's a great question because, one, I think they'd be certainly more aggressive about that. But, two, you'd be surprised how many stores do not report low-level embezzlement because they're afraid, once again, to get sucked into the system and to have it be known that their employees are stealing from them. So much of this is optics and shareholder stuff driven. It's crazy.
Good point. Number two, my daughter does work for Lululemon, and we heard this conversation. And great company. They take good care of their employees. But if they're not going to press charges this, honestly, it's a concern for me, for my daughter, that all of a sudden somebody that's brazen enough to go in there and steal, are they willing, if somebody puts any pressure, if somebody's in that store, or if they just have a bad day, to assault somebody while they're there or to escalate it beyond just theft? And that's a concern for me.
You know what? As a dad, I'd be concerned, too. And this idea that it's just certain retailers that have all the money in the world and they can absorb it and it's not that often. This is the kind of thing that causes it to increase. And we're a generation away from people just not recognizing property rights. Like, if this is the policy we're going to adopt, it's not the one-off. It becomes the norm. And what other than morality, man, what would keep you from just walking into a store and grabbing something and being like, I want this and you have it, so I win? We're counting on just people's good nature?
Yep, that's a great point. That's all I had to say. You have a great day.
Terry, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, Joe, I could bring you up, buddy, but it would be literally for 15 seconds because in 15 seconds the bumper music's going to play. I apologize. We'll have more conversations like this again tomorrow in the days that follow. Remember, we got Kirk, Prager, and Gorka coming up next. That'll take you all the way to 3. Then we get joined by Deb Flora. In the 3 o'clock hour, she'll take you from 3 to 4. And then we go Stefan Tubbs at 4 to 7. We'll be back with more stuff tomorrow. My thanks to Rebecca. Great 2 hour conversation in studio. Love to continue to get your reactions for that. Love doing this, man. Billy, welcome back. We'll finish up May tomorrow. It's George Brockler on The George Show. You're listening to the mighty 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.